After the final chorus, they escorted both maids on a pleasant promenade of the deck, snarling fiercely at any of the polling shrews who dared to look sideways at Fenner or Springald. Supper, on a mossy bank overhung by weeping willows, was a total success. It was all due to Horty's onion soup. The Gurafs congratulated him on his cooking skills. He lapped up any compliments with a complete lack of modesty.
Tut, tut. Nothing to it, dear chaps. A pinch of this, a smidgen of that, and a sprinkling of the other. Plus, of course, blinking loads of those confounded onions. I tell you, I shed many salt tears into the recipe, what? Wild onions. Oh, I wasn't too blinking pleased having to tame them down for you lot. I'd sooner be skinned me blooming self than have to skin another wild onion.
Logalog Briggy watched the young ones cavorting, singing and playing, then lay back and stretched.
Beats me where they find the energy. Ah, well, let them be merry while they can, especially those three youngins of yours. I reckon we'll make our voyage end by mid-morn tomorrow. That's when all the fun and games will finish for Horty and the maids. I'm glad I don't have to make the slog over desert and gorge to Loam Hedge with you. That's country I was never fond of.
Bragoon flicked a twig into the fire.
They'll do all right, with me and my mate to look after them.
Sarrow smiled.
Aye, but by the creaking of mule bones, 'tis them who'll be looking after us by the time this little jaunt is finished.
Next morning, they arrived on time at the spot, just as Briggy had predicted. It was indeed hard, arid country. They had been sailing upriver since the crack of dawn. No beast could fail to notice the difference in the terrain. Trees, bushes and grass thinned out along the banks, whilst a hot breeze wafted in dust from the wastelands. Briggy smiled at the young creatures' downcast faces.
Cheer up, mates, it ain't goodbye just yet. We'll be moored alongside this bank when you come back with a cure for Horty's sister. Get going now and good fortune go with you.
Thanks for everything, old friend.
Aye, we'd have been in a right pickle without you and your crews, matey.
See you in 6 days, eh?
Loaded with shrew hard tack biscuits and two canteens of water apiece, the travellers set off into the unknown. Briggy called out as the logboats pulled away.
Keep the sun on your right cheek. You'll see the Bell and Badger Rocks afore dark. But you won't be able to reach them until you figure out how to cross the Great Gorge.
Silence reigned over the searing, dusty flatness at high noon. Bragoon led the party, with Sarrow bringing up the rear. It was not long before Horty began complaining.
See you. My ears are roasted, my tongue's parched, and my belly feet are frying. My word, it's even too hot to sweat. Walking, walking, always flaming, well, walking. It's the story of me life, chaps. First I was walking up and down on a blinking log boat pushing an oar pole. Now I'm walking again through this food and drink forsaken place.
Sarrow tugged the hare's tail.
We're all walking, old Gabby Gob. We're walking to bring back something that'll make your sister Martha walk. So stop moaning and keep walking.
The otter glanced over his shoulder, turning his attention on Springald and Fenner.
Ahoy there, you two. Keep your faces like that and it'll rain afore long, you miserable pair of mopes.
Springald dragged a paws in the dust, replying sulkily.
There's nothing at all wrong with our faces, thank you. Anyhow, you wouldn't understand.
Sarrow piped up from behind.
Why wouldn't we understand?
Fenner pouted.
'Cause you just wouldn't, that's all.
Horty could not resist smirking.
They're jolly miserable because they've been parted from old Jigger and his pal, what's-his-name, Cuddles. Oh, lack-a-day, and woe they. I expect your little hearts are breaking, what?
Kicking dust at the mocking hare, Fenner shouted.
His name isn't Cuddles, it's Woodle, and he's far nicer than you, Horty Braybook, so there.
Skipping ahead of the two maids, Horty made an elegant leg and bowed with a flourish.
Fie upon you, ma'am. There's no beast nicer than the charming eye. Not in all the lands or the river. Not like those two spike-headed water wompers who caterwaul songs like stricken ducks.
This time it was Springald who kicked dust at Horty.
You vain, pompous, floppy-eared boaster.
Horty was about to kick dust back when Bragoon grabbed his ear and tweaked it soundly.
If in you value your ear, then stop embarrassing those maids right now. All three of you starting to try my patience. Come on, Spring, cheer up. You too, Fen. It won't be long before you see those young shrews again. Quit being so mean to each other and no more teasing.
Horty rubbed at the ear that had been tweaked.
Who, me? I barely uttered a blinking word. It was those two who jolly well started it.
It was Sorrow's shout that put an end to the bickering.
Look, mates! There's the Bell and Badger Rocks!